Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, summer is right around the corner, and we have our annual summer preview in this week's issue. So there is a lot to keep people indoors in the months ahead. So let's start with Days. The show is actually going to address the real-life death of Peggy McKay by having Caroline pass away on screen. That's going to bring back some familiar faces, including Carrie, who is harboring a secret, and Sammy, who will have other drama to play out with an ailing Will. And this is fun. We're also going to see the return of the Brady Horton barbecue on July 4th, which will be really a good time for viewers because that's been sort of sidelined for a bit. On Y&R, Nikki and Victor will unite like never before when they must face an unexpected challenge. The Abbotts are going to discover there is a threat to Jabot from outside the family, which will force Jack and Ashley to call a truce. And Lauren and Michael's relationship will be tested when he starts exploring his long-buried dark side.
Ooh. Well, on B&B, the Hope Phoebe is Beth story will drive the show throughout the summer. Hope will eventually find out the truth, but until then, a few new villains emerge and more people become privy to the secret that Flo, Zoe, and Shauna are keeping. The entire cast will become involved, and there will be an incredible cliffhanger, and not everyone may make it out alive.
Mm-hmm.
On GH, Sam and Jason discover the link between Wiley and Shiloh and get drawn into the efforts to protect the baby from the dangerous man who appears to be his biological father. Ava goes down a dangerous path as she reels from the Ryan drama, and Liz and Franco will finally celebrate their marriage outside of the jailhouse. But as the summer progresses, they will face a surprising new test.
I'm only laughing because Mara will attest to the fact that I had to call her to ask her about the Willow and Shiloh and the baby and Brad and Lucas's baby and Nell's baby. I needed some clarification on that.
Yes, it can get a little confusing. And Liz and
even
Franco,
when you work here. Right?
Yes, and it's true. And Liz and Franco, of course, will also be receiving a nice visit from Liz's half-sister, Hayden.
Well, speaking of Rebecca Budig, who plays Hayden, I'm really excited to see her back. I think that story felt a little unfinished, mm-hmm. and you spoke to her for an interview in this issue, and what'd she have to say?
Well, she said she was really surprised to receive an overture from General Hospital, but that she was really happy that the show saw the potential in mining exactly that, the unfinished business between Hayden and Finn. She also told me how much she is looking forward to working with Michael Easton, who plays Finn again, but she told me not to tell him that, so everyone listening is sworn to secrecy.
Well, Rebecca, your secret is safe with me. Mm-hmm. We actually have another return interview in this issue. It's Stacey Hyduk, who is back as Days' Kristen, and she is thrilled. She tells us she left the show the last time and was told that she'd be back, but when the months went by, she worried it wasn't going to happen. And, you know, she didn't want to go back to driving an Uber again, which she had done when she was in between jobs prior to coming to Salem. And then she booked a TV movie with Christopher Sean, who used to play Paul on the show, and Kelly Kruger, who plays Y&R's Mac. And she prayed to the universe, and then she got the call from Days to come back. So this time around, she's working a lot with Ariane Zucker, Eric Martzoff, and Paul Telfer, and she could not be happier.
Okay, so let's do a quick review of everyone who's coming back over the next little while, because I feel like it's a really impressive list.
Mm-hmm.
At Y&R, you've got Greg Rickard as Kevin, Michelle Stafford as Phyllis, Eileen Davidson presumably popping back in as Ashley, and quite likely Elizabeth Hendrickson popping up as Chloe alongside her gig as GH's Margot.
Okay, so then on the Days front, in addition to Stacey, there's Allison Sweeney coming back as Sammy, Christy Clark as Carrie, Brian DiTillo as Lucas, who talked about it with us recently on the podcast, and a little further down the line, we have Stephen Nichols coming back as Steve. You know, I just love all these returns. I think it adds so much to the canvas when people pop in and out. You know, it's more like real life in that way. And I like what the new team at Y&R is doing already by bringing back Doug Davidson's Paul and now Kevin. These were characters that the fans were upset to see written out and are very welcome faces again.
Yeah, it's just a smart move on a lot of levels. I mean, no one in the fan base is going to be like that jazzed when word breaks that someone they've never heard of is debuting in the role of a character we don't know yet. But when we hear that Doug Davidson is coming back as Paul, or that Ingo Rademacher is returning to GH's Jax, that's the kind of news that fans can really get behind and get excited about.
And I may be beating a dead horse at this point, but while I understand the need to build upon the characters currently on the canvas, the core audience really wants to see the people they have come to love. So yes, seeing an Ingo Rademacher, who is actually our guest today, already makes GH feel like the old days. Now, Ingo most recently appeared on B&B as Thorn, but something just feels right about him resuming the role of Jax. So let's get him on the phone to talk all about it. Hi, Ingo.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, we just love seeing you back on General Hospital. Ingo, my claim to fame is always that I did your first interview for Soap Opera Digest when you started back in the day.
We won't say when, will we?
No, it was just a few years ago.
Right, I'm sure the super fans remember the exact date, though. I think it was January 96, but I'm not sure what that
is. I was going to say it was 96 when you and I first talked. So here we are all these years later. So we are going to go back a little in time to that time. Tell us what you remember about being cast on GH.
Well, I remember, coming to L.A. and I'd done a daytime show in Australia called Paradise Beach. And we were fairly successful with getting close to jobs and everything. And my managers were like, do you want to go out for daytime? And I was like, why not? You know, let's just see what's there. So I think I actually went for a general casting with the head of ABC casting. Somehow that tape ended up getting over to Mark Teshna, I believe. And that's how that happened. They called me in from seeing that kind of general audition that I did with somebody at ABC. Just a general casting that my managers got me in on. And it went from there. And I remember actually testing for Jax, and I'm in the makeup chair, and I was like, usually you test against other people, right? When you do a network test, usually there's like two or three other people. And I said, so where are the other people that I'm testing against? And they said, oh no, you're the only one testing.
Oh.
So that doesn't mean you got the job. That just kind of takes the – I don't know if that actually takes the pressure off or if it puts the pressure on, because if you don't get the job, that means you kind of you crashed out of first place in a motorcycle race, basically, when there was nobody else in the race. But back in those days, I didn't think like that. I just thought, yeah, right on. You know, this is great. I'm the only one testing for it.
It's mine.
I think basically they were like, we don't want to give the network any other options. We really want you for this role. So they totally kind of rewrote. I don't know if they rewrote the character. Actually, came up with the character. I believe they came up with a brand new character. And after they saw my general audition tape that I did with ABC, so. It was a kind of a cool process. And then I remember actually starting, I think I went in around December, beginning of December, may have even been November. And I was as broke as you can possibly be. And I remember, all my friends in LA, all my actor friends, and Jason Simmons, who was one of the Aussie actors that was on Paradise Beach with me, who was on Baywatch at the time. He and some friends, they were all getting a place up in Big Bear for Christmas. And I'm like, oh, you know, I really want to come, guys, but I'm totally broke. But I got a job starting in January.
I could so pay you back. Float me.
Can you loan me some money? Yeah, it was like, I don't know. My cut was $150 or something, you know, but I was down to my last bit of cash. And then they delayed my entrance because goodness, you can probably remind me of this, but one of the actresses that was very popular on the show, she passed away, and they had to kind of figure out how to write her out. And that was right before I came on the show. So
Rosalind Cash?
Yes, correct. Exactly. Yeah. So it delayed my coming on, I think by a couple of months, I believe. I was supposed to start in like November or December. I didn't end up starting until like January sometime, or late January. So, yeah, I was borrowing money at that point.
Just going to say, did you pay your friends back?
I'm sure I did.
Okay, good.
They're still my friends.
With interest, that would be a problem at this point.
It wasn't a lot.
So I remember what – like kind of like an overnight sensation you became as Jax on GH. What was that like for you to come onto the show and just kind of very quickly become a bit of a GH superstar?
It was a good negotiating tool to extend my contract. That's for sure. I think those first Emmys in New York, I remember walking to my seat and the crowd kind of going crazy, and then Maurice comes in and the crowd's going crazy, and And I had no idea really what was going on at that point. And then I stood up in my seat just to kind of stand up, and the crowd behind me up on the balcony goes crazy, and I'm like, what's going on here? And my cast members next to me, or who, producers or whatever, I can't remember who it was, and they were like, they're cheering for you when you stand up, and I'm like, really? I'm gonna sit down, and then I'm gonna stand up again. Because I'm oblivious to anything at all. If there's a stranger that comes up to me on the street and yells, "Ingo, Ingo," I think I know them from school, or, you know, they know me. But the fact that I'm on TV, I always forget that part. So, you know, yeah, that back in those days, it was a very, very exciting storyline, the triangle, you know, with Brenda. And or Brenda, as I used to call her, as we make an ER out of an A, that's just an Aussie thing. Yeah, that was a great storyline. I came right into, like, you know, working with the most popular actors on the show right at that time. So, and it's tough to come into that because, you know, I see it now with new people coming on the show. You know, fans have their favorites. And if you're a new person coming in, they don't always like that, especially if you're breaking up a super couple. So, you know, I was able to kind of maybe get a 50-50 split on that. And I think that's why ABC kept me around.
Well, you are on the phone with two avowed yes. Sonny and Brenda fans. But I said I still did love Jax as a character. But tell us about your relationship with Vanessa. What was that like?
We were young back in those days, you know, so it wasn't as smooth sailing as it would be now. You know, I think as we get older, we all get more mature. But, you know, we're all in our 20s. And I think back in those days, it was, I was single back in those days. So it was always like, I was always going up to Mark Teshner's office and going, you know, cast me a girlfriend.
Did it work?
No, it did not work. You know, back then, this is different, you know. And I think now, you know, when everybody's kind of settled, I mean, even the relationship that I have with Maurice now, it's just wonderful. You know, we have this, like, mutual love for each other. I think, you know, we're always texting each other and checking out each other's stories. And I have yet to go down to his old McDonald had a farm.
You haven't met the goat? But,
no, I haven't gone down there yet. He actually wants to put me in a chair in the enclosure and interview me while the goat is eating at me. And I said, Maurice, I said, you do realize I grew up on a goat farm. We had 200 head of goats in Australia. And he goes, oh, I didn't know.
Right. I know that.
Yeah, he needs to do the pre-interview with Stephanie to get ready for that. Why? You have to say yes, because now my life isn't complete unless I see you sitting in a chair surrounded by goats gnawing at you.
I have to. No, I'm absolutely going down there for sure. It's a great little place for the kids to see. And I actually would love to hang out with Mo, you know, a little bit more socially as well. So he's just a great guy. And, you know, instead of, like, fighting about storyline now, I think it's more of a mutual, how can we make this better? You know, how can we create what the fans want to see? So, you know, we talk about it, we come up with ideas, sometimes we pitch them to Frank, you know, and he's always very receptive as well. So, you know, it's a great collaboration there, I think. Great team.
Well, to that point, you know, what do you think, like, here you are now in 2019 on the show, you started in 1996, you know, how are you different than when you started on the show? It sounds like you've changed.
Absolutely. I think we, you know, we just, hopefully we all mature as we get older and we keep learning and we keep getting better. And, I think, you know, working with, the last time I came back when, I'm trying to think what year it was now, was it
2017.
It was like two and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years ago. And right before I left, too, you know, all the storyline that I had with Laura Wright was I think I was having the most amount of fun that I've ever had on the show when I was working with her. It was just it was all about the work, you know, and it's becoming more and more that now. As we grow as people, as we grow as actors, it really becomes more and more about the work and how do we make this, you know, fun and interesting. Not just for ourselves, but also, you know, I mean, at the bottom line is the fans. So sometimes you get a scene and you're like, oh, you know, you read it and you're like, what are we doing this for? What is this for? And then you read it again and you're like, okay, maybe I got to work a little bit harder at this to figure out what the writer is trying to communicate here. And then a lot of the time, instead of getting upset about the material, you go, oh, I got it. Okay, I got it now. And then, you know, you'll have a discussion with Laura or with Maurice and talk about what the scene's really about. And we don't have a lot of time for that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you can collaborate and come up with something great. So.
And that's come with maturity?
Yes. I think so, you know. I don't think it with Maurice and I, it's not about, a personal, like who can be on top, Sonny or Jax. It doesn't matter now. It's more about how do we make it interesting, you know, because you've got to have the villain and you've got to have the good guy. You know, you can't have love without hate, right? You can't have light without darkness. It's one of those things. And I think that, you know, we kind of both realized that instead of fighting each other like we used to back in the day, and he used to get upset at me for, you know, because I was bigger than he was. And, you know, the fight scene is unfair and this, and Sonny would just shoot him and, you know, just funny stuff like that. Now it's more about, you know, how do we make it entertaining? And I think that's very mature from both of us, I think, and from anybody else that I work with, they're really on the cast. So,
well, you talked about working with Laura. I thought it would be fun to talk about some of the other GH leading ladies you've had through the years. Now, Jax, of course, had a platonic marriage to Alexis, and the fans really, really love their friendship. What has it been like to work with Nancy Legrán over the years?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to throw that line in there, but they didn't let me at the nurse's ball, you know? Mm-hmm. Where I say to who's the guy, Dr.
Neil Byrne.
Dr. Neil, right. He's sitting at the table and he goes, so I take it you guys know each other well. And Jax goes, well, she's my ex-wife, actually. And I wanted to add, but never consummated. You know, but they were like, no, don't do that. I'm like, well, but it's funny, you know, but we didn't, you know, there's always stuff that we try that we throw out there and like, hey, can I say this? You know, this will be more like the fans would appreciate it and be like, that's right. They never slept together. So
yet,
I think they'll be friends, friends forever. Mm-hmm. Way to ruin a good friendship would be if they did hook up, but, right. You know, you never know what the future holds.
True. Yeah. Now, what about working with Robin Christopher?
Oh, that was great. Absolutely fantastic. I think about her often, and I hope that she's, you know, enjoying her life. I remember when she packed up everything in L.A. with her husband, her kids, and they drove cross-country. I think they went back to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was great stuff, too. It really was.
And what about Kelly Monaco? You were you kind of broke her in when she came to GH's.
Really? Mm-hmm. Goodness me, that's that long ago? Yeah, I did, huh? I brought her on, and then what, Sonny stole her or something?
Typical, yeah.
Is that what happened?
It is.
Kelly. I mean, Kelly was great working. Absolutely, it was great working with Kelly. But, you know, none of those, you know, we can talk about all the you know, after I think Vanessa left the show, she went back with Sonny and then she left with something. But when she was back with Sonny, they were trying to cast somebody else for me and it just didn't work. You know, it just, they just couldn't find anybody for me to work with that was working. So I think now as well, like that's going back to that maturity thing as well. You know, I think it's more important to just work, you know, with the actress that they give you to work with, instead of letting personal things get in the way. So, you know, I think that that comes with age and maturity, I believe. So, so now I'm, I'm a big believer in just showing up, doing my work, and doing the best that I can with whoever they put me with, and let them make the decisions, you know. So,
well, I have to say, there's already some sparks there with Michelle Stafford's Nina at the Nurses Ball on the red carpet the other day. And now you'll be working.
Well, too bad. Yeah. Too bad she's gone. I mean, I've known Michelle for as long as I've been on soaps, and we never worked together. We've never worked together. She's good friends with Vanessa as well. We were just talking about that the other day. And I was like, wow, you know, we just started working together. We started like really getting along and working well together, and she's gone. So.
Well, now you have Cynthia coming. You're looking forward to working with her?
I'm going to meet her on Wednesday. We're doing a big press event at ABC. So we're going to be busy for probably most of the morning doing interviews and hopefully getting to know each other a little bit. So, yeah, I don't think I've ever met her.
But she lived in Hawaii. You live in Hawaii.
She lived in my old neighborhood, I believe. I'm not sure where she lived in Hawaii, but I'm sure we got something to talk about there.
Yeah, you find some common ground for sure.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, I mean, when I did the movie with Matthew Fox, I did Alex Cross with him, you know, in 2012 in Cleveland, and we were talking in the scene where he ends up shooting me, and I go, yeah, you must have loved Hawaii, and he looked at me and was like, nope.
And there you have it.
Hated it. I'm like, oh, okay. Okie dokie, we won't be having a conversation about that anymore, will we?
Moving on.
So I'm going to be careful about how I approach Cynthia with Hawaii. You must have loved it there. I love it there. My house is there.
That's so funny to me.
Hey, it's not paradise for everybody, you know? So.
But for the Rademachers, it is.
Yeah, well, for this Rademacher, it is. My parents were also there, and I tried to keep them in Hawaii. They didn't want to be on a tropical place. They wanted to be back in the mountains and go hiking. So, yeah, it's not everybody's paradise.
Well, even though I feel like maybe there have been some love interests for Jax that, like, weren't home runs, I feel like they very successfully cast a brother for you in Sebastian Roche. I love to follow your adventures as pals on your Instagram. How did the two of you become so close?
Oh, I think it was I was in Hawaii, actually, for like 2 months when he came on the show. And everyone was like, oh, you got to meet Sebastian. He's just like you. You know, you got to hit it off. I remember the first day he came up on the set, and I was up on the set, and he just walks up to me and he goes, Ingo, and he gives me a big hug, and we started rapping out, and then, you know, we started hanging out after that. And it was a pity that they couldn't figure out what to do with Jerry. They kind of wrote him into a corner, I thought, you know, and I was bummed, you know, and he was bummed too. I mean, you know, he's been doing great since he left the show. But it's you know, also at the same time, it's nice to have a steady gig, you know? But yeah, I thought it was unfair. How long was he on for? 2 years or 3 years? Something like that, right?
Gosh, in total, I would have to like add it up because he's come back a few times to do some
dastardly
things.
Yeah, but not on
things.
Contract.
Right, not on contract.
Not on contract, no. No, that's a big difference, you know? So when you know you have a job, when you're on contract, or when you're just floating around, that's a big... a big difference in your personal life. So, but that was a bummer because, you know, I thought we had great stuff together.
I did too. You know, I was a big Jerry Jax fan, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes they make that mistake, you know. They bring on a brother and you work with him for a month and then you don't work with him again. And he has his own storyline all of a sudden, doing his own things, and you never ever see him. And that's what kind of happened there as well, you know. They didn't think that the brother relationship was interesting enough when it was, I thought, you know, it really was interesting. And they didn't play that. They played that later. I mean, Frank played it again when we both came on as guest stars during that big location shoot that we did. That was amazing. And they really played on that, you know. And you know, had we both been on the show, you know, as regulars, then I think that you could have kept going on that. You just got to be careful with a character like that, that you don't ruin him. You don't make him too crazy. There's not a lot of coming back from that. So
right. Once you poison the town's water supply, it's a little difficult to reintegrate the character.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Well, they also had cast a mother for Jax in Lady Jane, played by Barbara Tarbuck, passed away. Well, tell us what your memories are of her.
I first met her like at the very beginning in 96. You know, she came on it was just a great relationship right away. You know, she just felt like mom, like she felt like Jax's mom. And Peter, who played my dad, also, you know, I thought that was just great casting all the way around. And it's sad that she's no longer with us, because it'd be great if she, you know, if she was still around, she could come back on the show. But, you know, Jax's parents both gone. And that's what happens as we get older. You know, we start losing our loved ones, and more people around us die, not just on camera, but in our personal lives as well. You know, it's one of those things about getting older.
Right. I think it's so lovely that they, you know, address it on screen, and Jocelyn talks about her grandmother, and, you know, that feels very real to me.
Yeah. And we had that beautiful scene where I was, you know, talking about being by her bedside and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it was nice. You know, look, General Hospital does a really, really good job with that, you know. And the great thing is, you know, we have, what is it, 38 minutes of, or closer to 40 minutes of TV time. We get to actually talk, you know. We get to actually explain storylines. So, which I think is nice, you know, that we get that time. We didn't really have that on Bold and the Beautiful. It's 18 or 17 or 18 minutes of TV, and you just don't really have a lot of time, you know.
So. Right. That's a very quick watch as a viewer.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's only that short. You know, you think it's a half hour show. No, not with all the commercials.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, tell us what else stands out to you about your B&B experience where you recently played Thorn.
Well, I mean, just like all, I think most of this, I can't compare. I've only been on the two. So the way it works over there is very similar. Great crew, great cast, no divas. You know, everyone just shows up and does the best that they can. I really had a great time with Torsten K. I gotta say, I'm bummed that I don't get to work with him anymore. He's a wonderful actor and a great human. And it's
we
funny.
We agree.
Because,
we have two fans here.
Torsten is awesome. We had so much fun because, you know, he doesn't get to speak German, and I don't get to speak German very often. But because we both left around the same time, we kind of both speak the, you know, the same kind of, you know, I wouldn't say perfect German, you know, but we talked a lot in German. So it was quite funny.
You talk to each other in rudimentary German. This is what I'm picturing in my head.
It's just nasty, you know. We call each other Schätzchen, which means little treasure, you know. So I see him, I'm like, I'm on my little treasure, Schätzchen.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I miss working with him for sure. Maybe I'll get to work with him again one day, wherever that might be. But he's great, great guy. And also John McCook over there, I have to say, was awesome. Playing my dad. It was great having a family, you know, and being incorporated into that. And of course, Catherine Kelly Lang, she's amazing too. You know, you would think that somebody like that would have, you know, be a diva. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. she's a hard worker. She's every vacation. She's off in Italy, you know, promoting the show and doing her own thing. And everybody else too, you know. It was great seeing Scott Clifton again over there, who used to be on General Hospital with me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a good work environment as well. So, but you know, being back on GH, you know, everybody was always, you know, saying you gotta be back on GH, you gotta come back to GH. So yeah, I'm stoked to be home. I should, you know, call it. I mean, you know, having established that character back in 1996.
Indeed.
It's kind of, I love playing Jax, you know. I'm stoked that I'm back, so.
So you've visited a lot, you know, for short-term stints over the last couple of years. What was the appeal to you in returning for, you know, a fuller, longer term?
Well, I mean, the short terms were, we were in Hawaii pretty much full time for those 5 years. You know, when I left the show in 2012, my wife got pregnant with Pohaku, and we did the movie. We drove across country for 3 months, and we did the Alex Cross movie in Cleveland and Detroit, and then we packed up the Airstream and the F-150. We shipped it all over to Hawaii. And then as soon as I got there, I actually did Hawaii 5-0. I played Malcolm Schaefer. And then a few years later, I ended up meeting Peter Lenkov at an event in Hawaii. And he was like, I got to bring you back on the show. So he brought me back as that reoccurring character, mm-hmm. Robert Coughlin. And that was a lot of fun, too. So the little stints coming back to GH was because I was living in Hawaii full time. And then Frank would call me every now and then and be like, hey, can you come over and do, you know, X amount of episodes? And I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Because it gave us an opportunity to come back to LA. And I bought the van shortly after that as well. It used to be in storage. So we would fly in, take a taxi to the van, which was our mobile home, basically. And, you know, I'd do the show for a little bit. And then we would go adventuring. We would go for, you know, 2 months trips sometimes up the coast, do some stand-up paddleboard races, and then, you know, show the kids. Like, we did the whole Oregon coast coming down all the way through San Francisco a couple of years ago. That was while we were still living in Hawaii full time. So yeah, that was a great excuse to visit the mainland and work at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now another project you worked on in between GH stints was Titans, the Aaron Spelling primetime soap. Tell us what you remember about doing that.
Yeah, that was one of those ensemble pieces where I would literally, I would call them just as a joke. I'd be like, hey, can you send me the directions to the studio again? Because it's so far in between days that I'm working. I can't remember how to get there. I think I was in like three scenes and episodes or something.
Cheeky.
But that was a great show. You know, I think if they would have given that a little bit more time, it could have been a lot better. It was great working with Chuck Pratt. I actually met him when I auditioned for Models, Inc. Do you guys remember that?
Of course. Please.
Fantastic show. Another Aussie buddy was on that, Cameron Datto. He did amazing on that. And there was a couple Aussies on there, actually. And I read for that. I read for Chuck Pratt. And then later on, he became my executive producer for Titans. And then later on, he became the head writer at GH with Bob Guzer. So, yeah. You know, as you get older, you get to know more and more people in the industry. It's funny how it works.
So since you love Hawaii so much, why did you decide to make, you know, California home again?
Well, I think it was one thing. I think my wife kind of, and we both agreed that I was too young to retire for a start. It's just, there's not a lot of, you know, things happening in Hawaii. I was really, really hoping for a series regular on something there. You know, I gave it 5 years, but there was just nothing that came along. There was that one show with a submarine. I can't remember what it was called. Scott Speedman was in it. But there was no part on that for me. And then there wasn't really anything else. There was, you know, there's the reoccurring on 5-0. But that's about it. So, you know, there's not a lot of shows that come there. So you have to get super, super lucky to get on one of those. And my wife and I were talking, and I think at the time my parents were kind of living on the property with us. I think that was another driving factor as well to get up and go back to LA.
So we were like, across the ocean.
Yeah. Let's leave mom and dad here to take care of the property for a little bit. And that didn't end up working out either. But we said, you know, there's more opportunity also for the kids. There's a lot more things to do here. We love to travel in our van, and we like to travel, you know, to different countries as well. And it's just, it's easier to do it from here. Plus there's also work as well. So that's why we came back, and we're actually loving being back in California. We do love it when we go back. Sometimes I'm like, why did we leave? You know, sometimes you ask yourself and you're like, why did we leave again? I can't remember what was the reason, you know?
And something what about my parents and the property, huh?
Right. And what did we do for 5 years when we were in Hawaii? We forget what we, what, I don't, all I did was paddle, I think. I just paddled a lot and did a lot of races. And then, of course, I did Dancing with the Stars as well. That was fun. But I think we're definitely here now to stay in California again for a long time, and also for the kids, there is just so much more opportunity for them, and you know, to be able to give them that, to be able to have way more options than you do in Hawaii, I think is only fair. You know, that the fact that we can live in LA here and I can have a job here is great, and you know. The kids are they're just busy. They're much busier than they were in Hawaii. So, and so still homeschooling them, and they're in swim team, on climbing team, indoor climbing team, and they're going to be getting into all kinds of music stuff now as well. So as we're settling down, we're going to be buying a house here probably in the next 6 months or so.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you guys are quite the adventurous family for anyone who follows you on social media. They certainly see that. So.
Well, we try to be. I mean, you know, I think the traveling is I remember it when I was a kid. We traveled all through Europe, you know, before I moved to Australia when I was 10 years old. That time from being a, you know, a two-year-old that I still remember, like, you know, France and going through we traveled everywhere. We had a VW van as well. So I'm kind of used to the camper van. And we went to, you know, we went through London. I remember being parked like right in front of Buckingham Palace when I was a kid. We slept on the side of the street, like right by Hyde Park, I think.
Wow.
And then we drove all through Ireland. And then, of course, we were in France and Spain. And then in the wintertime, we were in the Alps and Italy. So, yeah, it was
very nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was really great, because my dad also worked as an art teacher at a high school, and so he had the same vacations that we did. So we were all able to, you know, to always be gone, because where we lived in Germany, it was kind of that middle of Germany, a little bit northern. The weather was just horrible; it was kind of crap. So every chance we got, that's probably the reason they immigrated to Australia in 1981 as well, because the weather, you know, was one of those things. It just wasn't very nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, traveling with the kids now I think it's just, it helps, you know, with, you know, making good little humans out of them. And we also enjoy it as well, you know, introducing them to new things, nature and cities, and, spending time together as a family and talking about things, you know, as we travel. So, yeah, California gives us that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are the father of two boys. Off screen, on screen, you have a daughter, Ina McCoy is Jocelyn. How would you describe sort of, you know, how you approach that relationship?
Let's talk about Eden. I mean, come on. She is amazing.
Yeah.
She's so well cast as Jackson Carley's daughter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And she really grew into that. You know, I see a lot of young actors that are given an opportunity like that. And, you know, she was green when she first started and she was young. But what she's developed into such an amazing actress from when she first came on the show. And now she's a series regular. It's amazing to watch. And, you know, when I work with her, she connects. And I don't know if that had anything to do with, you know, working with Maurice and with Laura Wright for so long, and them, you know, kind of giving her advice as she's learning her craft. I'm sure it had something to do with that. Yeah, so it feels like a little mini Laura Wright sitting in front of me when I work with her, you know. It really, it's the casting physically is so great as well that you think you're sitting opposite your daughter. So,
Well, yeah. Edith,
and it makes me sad that we don't have, you know, my wife and I still always talk about it. She always thought she was going to have three kids, and you know, we had a horrible mishap a couple of years ago, and she almost died.
That was heartbreaking to read.
Horrible, I mean, horrible. Yeah,
I'm so and, sorry. You know,
it still affects us. You know, we came so close to losing her, like within minutes, and. You know, now we still talk about that third one because we were sure it was a girl. You know, there's still a chance that we might still try for the third one, but there's that fear, you know, of something going wrong. So, you know, do we just call it a day and we got two healthy kids and move on or, you know, so yeah, okay. that came up again when I worked with Eden and I was like, great. It'd be great. It'd be amazing to have a daughter. Probably give me a heart attack if she's that age.
Yeah. What kind of dad of a daughter do you think you'd be?
Yeah, right. What kind of dad would I be?
Yeah, to a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness me. I mean, with age, I'm definitely becoming more and more relaxed, I have to say. You know, with the boys too, it was tough sometimes. You know, when you're frustrated with yourself, you transfer that over to your kids when they do something wrong. You yell at them for no reason. And as a parent, I think it's a parent fail. It's not the kids. The kids are just having fun and trying to do their own thing if they're good kids, you know. And they're loud. Boys are loud. My goodness, boys are loud. but I think a lot of the time it's not the kids, it's the parents. The parents need to learn to be better parents. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. And I'm really getting there with them now. You know, I'm not getting I don't really get mad at them anymore now. I just take stuff away. I'm like, you guys got to keep doing this. It's going to be 1 week probation. There will be no Minecraft. And then they're like, oh boy, that works better than anything.
Technology threats.
Take something away that they love. And they're like, oh, I'm going to start, like, you know, behaving and start, you know. My son just came in and gave me the thumbs up. He goes, yeah, it works. Right, buddy? Yes, it's better. Better dad is like that, right? Instead of angry Hulk dad. So, yeah. But yeah, getting back to having a daughter, I think I would be even more, you know, chill. But also, you know, we both very firm, strong believers of strong parenting. So when it's no, it's no. It's just a straight up no. It will get an explanation so they understand, but it's a no. And I think a lot of parents have a hard time with that. I think a lot of parents think they're being bad parents if they're saying no. You know, so, yeah, that's the way we kind of, you know, we kind of do it. We explain to our kids, you know, we are your friends, but we're also your parents. We're your parents first. So what we have to do is give you guys the right guidance for the future. And so that way that you can go out there in life and make your own decisions and hopefully make good ones. So yeah, that's been working well. So I think with a daughter, yes, I would be until it comes to prom and some dude is at the front door. It'll be my best friend, and it'll be like that scene in Bad Boys 2, you know, where they come to the door and they're playing good cop, bad cop. Yeah, it would be that. It'd be like, it stays in the pants, buddy. Okay, it stays in the pants.
Well, Ingo, when we reported your return here on the podcast and we're first talking about it, I was like, it's proof that I've grown as a person, that I'm so excited to have Jax back on the canvas because
yeah,
I was, you know, so petty back in the day about you stealing Brenda away. But
my God, were you?
Yes, I was. I'm not proud of it. I've outgrown it.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, we outgrow those things. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Ingo, and we are so happy you're back on the show.
Thank you, guys. It was awesome talking to you, and I hope we can do it again soon.
We'd love to. Have a great one.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Ingo Rademacher for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.